Hi, Patty. Longtime listener. I love the show. Your producer, Michael Heideman, is awesome.
Here we go!
Tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, Alderman John Arena, Dave Halpern of 4 Entertainment Group, and music from Bubbles Brown.
Have you had meat sweats?
And now, here's your host, Patty Vasquez.
Oh, hello. It is Monday, February 6th. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. If I could give this day a big old hug, I would. It was gorgeous out. I'll take this fog and mistiness. It's really wonderful. And I, you know what? I'm just going to close my eyes and pretend like it's going to last until spring, but it's not. Alderman John Reyna. That was more Spanish than it was Italian there, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you did a pass.
I'll take it. I'm trying. Tell us a little bit about your start, because you are my alderman. I live on the far northwest side of Chicago in the 45th Ward, and we've had you in a couple times for other events, but I wanted to get to know a little bit more about you because there's some interesting stories in the news. So where are you from originally?
I was born in East Orange, New Jersey, just outside of Newark.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
And what brought you?
I'm an immigrant.
Yeah, I'll say. What brought you to Chicago?
Family. My dad got transferred here for work and was working downtown for Payne Weber at the time, financial services. And, we settled in Aurora and went to high school at Waubonsie Valley, college in DeKalb, where I met my lovely wife, Jill.
At Northern, for those not acquainted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we both always knew we wanted to live in Chicago. So she's from a small farm town outside of Peoria called Lakin.
Okay.
And used to come downtown with her aunt for Christmas and go to the tea room and do all the Chicago shopping in Marshall Fields. And always dreamed of working for Marshall Fields as a designer. And that was her first job out of college. It was
her dream job.
She worked on the corner of State and Adams and on the fifth floor up there, and was doing photo shoots around Chicago. It was in Love and the City.
I'm kind of jealous because Marshall Fields in its day was just one of the best department stores. As far as I know, in the country, I would say the world, but I'm not. Harrods apparently would give us a run for our money. And what made you decide to settle on the northwest side of Chicago? As though you gave up on something else.
A cheap apartment in Wrigleyville at the time was great, and we were dating at the time. She was staying with a friend, and when we finally got married, we got our first apartment was on Maplewood near Revere Park, just off of Western and Irving Park Road, and we just kept migrating west as we could afford it. We bought our first house near Six Corners on Gray Street, and had our first child in that house, and 4 years later, we had our daughter and we needed a bigger place.
Sure.
And we bought just on the other side of Six Corners on LeClaire. And so that's where we are now. We've been there for 20 years.
Look at Paul Farvar joins us in the studio. Look how brave he is to say right about the streets. Do people know where you live? That's weird.
Well, you're an alderman. It's like you can hide. You can't go to the grocery store without, let me tell you about we should do about this. And that pothole's got to get filled.
Well, and I think about that sometimes because I had thought about running for that seat. Was it LeVar?
If you do, then I'm done.
No, because here's why. You have done so much for the neighborhood. I've lived there since 2001, and I grew up just north of there in Norwood Park. Mm-hmm. I've never lived outside of the city of Chicago except for when I went to college. And I love the northwest side of Chicago. And I also, part of that's not really being familiar with anything south of the Art Institute. So it's not necessarily a preference, more familiarity, I guess.
Sure.
So I just know that area so well. And it has changed in ways that I could have never imagined. You kind of get used to the way things are, whether it's the Sears at the Sixth Corner. And even, I shop a lot at that Marshall's over by there. But there's something about that area that is, it's both got this great neighborly feel to it, and you have brought so much commerce into the area that it's really exciting. And what got you interested and involved in public service?
It was just living there, and the neighborhoods, as just like you said, the neighborhoods, the streets are just beautiful. They're quaint and friendly, and the people are walking their dogs and talking on the corner. But the commercial district has just always struggled. Just like every commercial district in Chicago from the 70s, 80s, and 90s with the malls competing, the urbanization, we were losing that. We weren't really holding the old mom and pops. Generations were moving on, and they were struggling. And it was frustrating to me that I was trying to engage the alderman at the time, Pat LeVar, and he was more old school politics.
He was very settled in the way things were.
And that was
why I wanted to do that, but I didn't have the kind of sense that you do.
And he took care of the basics, you know.
Yes,
that was the way. And then these young guys are coming in. I'm a young guy coming in saying, "Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that?" He's like, "Who are you?" You know? And it was just, you know, it's not that I ever wanted that. I said, "Well, someday I'm going to run to be alderman." It was, I just couldn't sit still when I knew that there was things I could do. There were people that were saying, "We can get this done if we work together."
Right.
And he just wasn't built that way, you know, and that's okay. We just needed to turn. And once Daley decided not to run in 2010, he announced he wasn't going to run for reelection. A lot of the old guys, I mean, we had 15 new aldermen come into the city council.
I had no idea.
I was one of them. You know, it was that kind of shift of, we have a new leadership and now we need some new leadership at the local level.
And it's true. The Northwest Side had this period of, whether it was Alderman Paczynski just north of you, which was the 41st Ward. How long was Pat LaVar there?
24 years,
yeah,
I think.
So it was significant. And I'm guessing they kind of even had some overlap. And this is one of the conversations that we have on this show. You know, when we talk about politics, I want people to, I hope that they find out that the local level is really where things matter, I think. In the most part, that's where things are carried out.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you want, like, local economic development, you got to, the city department of planning has got to be pulled out here. You know, I mean, that's the thing. We're on the far northwest side, so, you know, there's a lot of big stuff going on and the mayor's taking care of all the corporate, you know, headquarters, and that's great. But the aldermen locally have an opportunity to use the office that way. You know, if a business is looking to locate in the ward and my office doesn't get back to them, there's four other aldermen that will pick up the phone. If my office isn't picking up the phone, then my neighborhood's not competitive. So, you know, we're like a bunch of little towns.
Yes.
You know, and some people don't cross. Well, I don't go south of Pulaski, or I don't go this way, or I don't go that way. And, you know, when it's that economy will cycle on its own or it'll die on its own.
Right.
So we have to work to bring people out there. And my thing was, look, I was in marketing. So for me, it comes natural to say, I'm going to talk about my neighborhood. I'm going to talk it up wherever I can. I'm going to come on your show and I'm going to say, yeah, if you're going to consider, you know, Lincoln Park or Lincoln Square, you at least got to have Jefferson Park or Portage Park on the map, or Gladstone Park. Just come look and you'll be surprised. And that's where at least you're in the mix.
And that's
what I'm trying to
do. And that is paying off, not just in the commerce that's coming there, but you were mentioning when we were talking before the show about the schools, how there's really going to be this drive to improve, expand, provide more opportunities for the kids in that neighborhood.
Yeah, because one of our biggest challenges is the overcrowding of the schools. And that's because we have great neighborhoods. We have a great neighborhood with a bunch of single family homes and great two flats, and people want to live here because we have killer transportation options. We have, you know, parks, you know, everything's there.
We have a couple of great parks. Portage Park is historically, and it's huge, Paul. You've got to see this park. It's got a great outdoor pool, indoor pool.
Yeah, the Pan American Games were played there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got a great history. But we have all these little parks around, you know, even Robert Square and Beaubien Elementary is, you know, they're killing it in terms of delivering great education.
A little tiny Gladstone Park.
Yeah, and families have been moving there, and it's just, you know, the houses are generational. So mom and dad were living in the house, and now they've moved on, and now new families are moving in.
Mm-hmm.
So this $36 million was something that comes out of the 2016 budget. There was a levy that the mayor reactivated that had been on the books and we just weren't doing it. So that $45 million a year that taxpayers are paying, and, you know, this month they're getting their bills, is going to go back into the schools. And that was part of the deal, that if we were going to do this levy, that there was going to be local control and local input. And we worked locally with CPS directly. The mayor was, you know, was there, but it was our plan.
Mm-hmm.
And because we know the schools, we could talk to the LSCs and we can talk to the principals and say, how do we fix this problem? And so we've got a about $23 million going into Prussing, which is our 170% overcrowded.
Ugh.
And then we're creating, from what was a closed Catholic school at St. Cornelius, we're going to create an early education center and take the pre-Ks out of each of the schools. We'll get 6 pre-Ks in there, and we're going to immediately open up classrooms in 6 different schools.
So is that Hitch, Beaubien,
Hitch,
Garvey?
Prussing, Beaubien, Beaubien, oh, wait a minute. Hitch, Prussing, Beaubien, Belding, and possibly a couple more. We're still working on
that. Even know that was happening. I want to talk a little bit when we come back. Oh, by the way, if there's anything we can ever do for Beard, is Beard in your
And Beard is part of the mix with we've really kind of sprinkled capital dollars across as many schools. They needed ADA doors. Yeah. How can a special needs school not have ADA doors? So we're going to put ADA
doors. It's good times. And this is one of the things, Paul, a couple of years, actually it was just last summer. It was the summer of 2015. I woke up and there was a Facebook post. Someone tagged me in, and this school on the far northwest side, great school for children with autism, Beard Elementary, mm-hmm. had been vandalized, and people had sprayed swastikas and kill all the retards and things like that. And that was when I knew things were not quite what I thought in our neighborhood. And there's a story that I think has kind of brought to the surface some anxiety, some turmoil in the neighborhood right now. And I want to talk about that when we come back, because it's progress. And other people have differing opinions. 312-981-7200. We invite you to join the conversation anytime. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio with Alderman John Arena of the 45th Ward and comedian Paul Farvar Esquire. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar Esquire, who was returned to us from Vegas.
Yeah, I was in Vegas for 8 days.
For 8 days?
Survived, yep.
So you ran away from all this nonsense.
I did.
You've been to my neighborhood, actually. You and I have hung out at the Big Top restaurant over there, over by Aaron Higgins. Is Big Top in your area, or is that out?
Yeah, that's in the ward.
I have to take a look and see how that's all carved out. I don't know where the 41st starts and the 45th is. Alderman John Arena, the 45th Alderman, 45th Ward Alderman, posted on his Facebook page not too long ago, last week, as a matter of fact, I want to say, that there was a proposal to build a multi-unit apartment building, which would include some apartments that would be dedicated to veterans, the disabled, and Section 8 eligible tenants.
Yeah,
affordable housing. Yeah. And what's the reaction been to that? There's been a reaction. Can you explain? Because I think that because I grew up in Norwood Park, and I think that my family might have qualified at some point for what it would have been affordable housing. But we managed to have friends who owned a building on Northwest Highway, and we lived above a storefront. And so since they owned the building, the rent for us was pretty low. We were able to move out of a neighborhood that wasn't as nice to a nice neighborhood with great schools and with great opportunities. My mother was able to save money and put it towards a house in Jefferson Park. So it gave us the opportunity, and that was through, because Norwood Park is one of those places, like, it's kind of who you know. You know, I got a guy, our friend Jim's got an apartment over there on Northwest Highway, that kind of stuff.
There you go.
But not everybody has that opportunity to get a place that's nice, take care of themselves and take care of their families in order to move ahead, to save some money.
Yeah.
We were talking about this in the green room. Tell us a little bit about what it means to qualify for affordable housing.
So, it's based on income, and they do kind of a sliding scale model. And you know, like you said, your story's a perfect example. That was, you got affordable housing because a friend helped you out. What the city's trying to do is say, look, we got to be the friend that helps out the folks that are stuck in poverty, that are stuck with spending like half of their income on just their housing, which means that the rest of their income that they're struggling to pay the bills, medical, make sure their kids have dental treatments, and they're stuck in neighborhoods sometimes that they can't work their way out of that. Some folks are commuting to Jefferson Park. We've been getting letters from folks who work in Jefferson Park, teachers, kindergarten teachers, who can't afford to live here, but they're teaching our kids in Jeff Park. So these are the kinds of people that if we can get them into this housing, you know, if you're making $30,000 a year and you're paying half of that, which is the average of what you would pay for a two-bedroom apartment at $1,200 a month, you take that down to a third of your income, and you just opened up $360 a month into your personal budget without working an extra job or without getting a raise. And that transforms your ability to move up. That's the tuition you might pay at Wright College or at Northwest Business College to get a nursing
or Northeastern, where my mother was going
or
to
Northeastern,
school.
Or Northeastern, which are all within proximity of the building we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So this is the opportunity that affordable housing, and in the grand scheme of things, we have Section 8 vouchers. If you qualify for Section 8 vouchers, which is CHA or state programming, which is assistance, they're already in Norwood Park, they're in Jefferson Park, they're in Portage Park.
Meaning the people who qualify.
Because they're living there and you don't know it. A landlord has to take those vouchers. You can't deny somebody based on that.
Right.
And that's the thing that we think, well, if we build a house, we're building projects again. That's what the backlash has been, folks who misunderstand what this is. This is a private development, 100 units, and it's mixed income. So you're going to have 20 units that are market rate, and then you're going to have folks that are sliding scale, and then you're going to have
based on their income.
That are based on their income. So some people are going to pay more, some people are going to pay less, but nobody's going to have a sign on their forehead or on their door that says, this is what my rent is. It's just what a family can afford. And if you take a family and put them into good quality housing that is next to everything they need, and if Jefferson Park and Gladstone Park doesn't have it, you know, it's, we've got doctors, dentists, we've got a physical therapy place just down the street. So if you're a disabled veteran, you need physical therapy to have
it's
that right
across
around
the
corner.
Street. ATI over there,
there's
the physical therapy.
There's a Walgreens across the street. There's more grocery stores than I can count on one hand. So this is the thing that we're putting people right in the heart of everything, and their transportation options just shot through the roof because we got Metro, CTA, PACE.
I do have a question right about there. That. I don't know if I'll have time for on the air, but I have a question from a listener, actually, or a comment from Richard. Hi, Richard. Thank you for calling. What can we talk about?
Hello, everybody. I'm just kind of getting the gist of your conversation, and it seems like we're blaming a lot of these issues in these underperforming schools on lack of funds, which certainly can't be denied. But you got to realize, too, that in some of these schools, they require armed security guards, for example, at $60,000+ a year plus pensions. And that would buy an awful lot of books and computers and paint and fix things up.
Hey, Richard, I'm not sure what part of the conversation you came in on. We were actually talking about some funding that's going to go towards schools to lessen the burden of overpopulation. It was really kind of more of what we were talking about. They're going to get the funding. That's okay.
I think I was on earlier, and I maybe drifted off and came back or something. But
No worries. No, you're right. There are so many components that go into funding schools and what they need to be supported. I agree with that completely, and we appreciate you calling.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course. Have a great night. And please call back with anything else. No worries.
Well, thank you very much.
Of course. One of the things that I was wondering about, since if we have a moment, and maybe some listeners want to call, in particular if they do live in the area, or anybody who has questions about Section 8 housing, or do they call it Section 8 housing? Because it has such a negative connotation.
And that's the thing. That's an old, I mean, there's a line of code that is Section 8 that encompasses a whole bunch of housing law. So what this is affordable housing. It's really that's the term, and the fact that it's mixed income. You know, neighborhoods that are mixed income, which Jefferson Park is mixed income. Almost half of the folks, the 30,000 people that are within 1 mile of this project, would qualify as low income. Now maybe they're not qualified for these particular apartments, but in terms of how the government looks at where incomes are, there's a lot of folks that qualify as low income. That doesn't mean they're poor.
Right.
It just means they have to make choices about where they spend their money.
I have to say, I grew up in, I've mentioned this all the time. I love Norwood Park. I think it's a great neighborhood. And I used to be a cashier at the Happy Foods in Edison Park, which is even farther north. It's just before Park Ridge. And I grew up in a one-bedroom tiny apartment, as I mentioned, above a storefront. And as a cashier, I remember, I never really thought about who had money, who didn't have money. I mean, I knew that my friends all lived in houses and they had their own bedrooms. And I never really thought about, like, all my friends were like, we thought you were dirt poor. And then I was a cashier and I would get food stamps. And I had no idea there were people living in Edison Park that were living on food stamps. And I would never say anything. It was just something that it never even occurred to me. You have no idea the people who live in your community that just, it's not a handout, it's a hand up.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to do their best. And this is, we're talking about, and you know, again, the negative connotation that people have when it comes to affordable housing, everyone jumps to something else. It's the people in your community, in your city, your neighbors. We're going to take a quick break here because, do I have a break or is it just to the news? I don't know. Quick break, and then it's going to be Rob's turn. More after this on 720 WGN.